Imagine a world where every sermon can instantly be translated into any language live. That's the vision of our guest today. Discover how this groundbreaking technology is changing the way churches connect with their communities. Next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
It's another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast, episode number 446, I do believe. And my name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy.
Steve, how are you today?
Doing okay.
All right. Nothing new going on in your life?
Nope. You're
on a daycare center, don't you?
Yeah, we do have a growing number of grandkids, and all of our kids live in our hometown, so it's really nice.
In Tucson, yeah. So if we hear kids screaming in the background, it's just normal.
Today is a day off, so yes. Oh. And my wife does, you know, the bulk of the work, although she made me pay penance over the weekend because I had a plans for Saturday, and she said, we're watching Max for 3 days, and she goes, you can't go. And I'm like, I already planned this for several weeks. She goes, okay, then you're doing everything on Sunday. She goes, I'm just gonna nap. So
wow, your wife,
so
is,
I had to pay for it.
Yeah, your wife's kind of mean. All right, so let's get into our podcast today. We're glad everybody's with us today. We have a guest. But I do want to mention that this Church Solutions Podcast is brought to you by DailyDive365.com. Check it out. Preach once, inspire daily. DailyDive365.com, one of our sponsors. Spoiler alert, it's us. It's what one of the things we do. And then we also want to mention that we have a new webinar coming up here in October. Right now this is October, and we're recording this on October 1st. And the webinar is October 22nd. And let's test Steve's knowledge. What's the name of the webinar, Steve?
That's a good test. We're doing it with Stream Dudes, and it is What's Behind Your Stream.
No.
Okay.
I love it when I get a chance to humiliate you like you do me. So the actual webinar is called What Drives Your Stream?
Masters. That's close.
Yeah, you were close. What Drives Your Stream? Master Your Church's Streaming Setup. And as you were right, our special guests are the guys from Stream Dudes, John Baselli. Did I get his name right that time? Baselli.
No, I did not. There you go, Baselli,
I'll never get it right. And then Chris Lang, those guys are with StreamDudes.com, and they really specialize in streaming equipment. So we're going to talk about equipment, mainly streaming equipment. So that's going to be October 22nd. Where can people sign up for this wonderful webinar?
They can go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv.
All right, sign up for it. Even if you can't go, sign up anyhow so we can get your email address. All right. Actually, we'll send you the recorded version. So if you can't make it, so webinar.streamingchurch.tv. All right. Today's guest is the CEO of Sermon Shots, and he leads a very fast growing team, over 20 people, full-time staff dedicated to empowering churches to amplify their message through engaging and shareable content. So Sermon Shots helps churches transform their sermons into powerful clips, social media posts, and other formats to reach much broader audience. He's got over 10 years of experience building software. I didn't realize he was even older than 16 when I first met him, but I'm kidding, but not really. But he's got over 10 years of experience building software and a significant social media presence. He actually developed one of the first Christian Facebook pages to reach over 5 million followers. And he's launched a design software used by over, 100,000 users. So with that in mind, please welcome Corey Alderin to the Church Solutions Podcast. Corey, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Did I embarrass you with that?
The age thing. I typically say that I can look a little bit younger and older depending on if I wear my hat or not. So depending on the setting, I can make myself a little bit older or a little bit younger.
My, nice. My son is going to be 26 and he still looks like he's 13. But yeah, you look young. That's a good thing. That's a good thing that you look young. And how old are you, by the way?
I'll be 40. My next birthday's 40 here in about 6 months or
Yeah,
so.
you
So
do not look 40. You do not look
I
40. Good for you. All right. So we've known you for a while. Steve met you a while back. I met you. And recently I actually met you in person at the Glue 2024 hackathon. And you had something you presented. If you don't know what the hackathon is, you can just Google it. Just Google Glue, GLOO 2024 hackathon, and I'm sure you'll find out. But Corey actually won something for something he presented. So we wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. So I'm going to turn this over to Steve Lacey because he likes to ask a lot of questions.
So before we get into that, I did not know this, the Facebook deal. Tell me a little bit more about that. What was that about?
So when I first wanted to like get in the world of, be my own boss, something, I did various things online, and one of the things that I did was make t-shirts for Christian t-shirts. This is many, many years ago. And one of my marketing ideas for that was, well, I'll just grow a Facebook page and then I'll promote the shirts on that Facebook page. So, and so that was the original idea. And what we did was we did a Christian quote, some famous pastor or author, Christian author or something, and put it on a picture. And this was at that time, there weren't many people doing this thing. And it just one day I turned it on and there was like 100,000 people that followed this thing. From like it went from like 20,000 to 100, 0 to 20,000 took a long time. And then like overnight, Facebook did something, started showing it to people, and it just grew like crazy over the next couple of years. And it ended up being back in the day pretty successful when a Facebook page mattered. When we put servers down sometimes when we'd post something with a link. And I mean, back in the day, if you shared something, it got seen by 80% of your users or something like that. And so now, the same thing, you now get, what, maybe 8%, 4%?
So,
was it what you guys had done? Or because I have a wife, and I'm very envious of her because she's really into the fitness thing, and she has over 50,000 followers on Instagram, and she really enjoys that whole world, and she's constantly on Instagram and constantly thinking. She just bought a new costume recently that she's got a real idea, and she'll get real ideas where they'll have her and a friend of hers have had like over 1 million views on different reels and stuff. But she's working it. Was your success there? Did it was it you guys? Was it something magical? Were you just blessed?
I don't know exactly. Probably a combination of a bunch of things. We were one of the few people doing this early on. Now you think about quotes on an image on social media as a like it's just a common thing, but 10 years ago it wasn't. It was new. And we kind of we I'm not going to say I invented that thing. I just kind of took it from other people and put it in the Christian audience, right? But we were one of the few doing that, and people liked them, so they were engaging. And so my thought is, we did that long enough and showed enough engagement that Facebook kind of recognized the algorithm, recognized it, and started showing it to
Well, that's
people.
great.
So
All
somehow,
right. So I derailed that a little bit. Let's go back to we met at the conference. So every one of the, we had a team, you had a team. There were how many teams? Is it 35 teams?
31.
31 teams?
I think that's what
Okay.
they finally said was
Yeah.
31. Yeah.
So each team has to come with a project. And the project is kind of the rules was you couldn't start on this project more than 30 days before the conference. Couldn't start work on it. And you would finish the project while you're there to a certain point and create a video that's a 90-second video that would be judged. So tell us about what was your project about?
Yeah, so it was around being able to do something related to translating your sermon. So there was a live component to it of translating your sermon during it being live, and then a post kind of process of making the video turned into something that felt like the person was speaking in another
And when
language.
you say translate, you mean translate to another language.
Another language, yeah. So Sermon Live is what we called it there, and I'm not sure. I think that name will probably stick. But this happened quick, right? Like you said, 30 we had 30 days to work on this thing. So not a lot of like long-term thinking was put into all of this. But yeah, what it does is it translates the sermon into, there at least 50 different languages will be possible. During the event, we did it in Spanish, right? So it was a live translation where the church can hook their stream straight into through Sermon Live. And what it will do with a few second delay is allow the person on their phone to read along in whatever language they want. So
Okay. Does the is there a URL they go to on their phone, or is it an app, or what's it?
yeah,
Especially
so
if.
when the church signs up, they're given their own unique URL that allows them to give that URL to their congregation. So that URL is specific to that church. And when they say, hey, if you want to read along in Spanish or listen along at some point, go to this URL and it'll show up right there on their phone.
So the text is scrolling across their screen, and they're, I assume, if they want to watch the pastor, they got their phone held up and they're, reading what he's saying real time. Wow, that's cool.
Now,
Do you
is this just the URL that you would give them? Say you're maybe a Hispanic church, whatever. Would it just be one language, or could they choose a specific language once they get that URL?
Yep, they'll be able to choose that language they want. So the church will initially say which ones do we want to provide, right? Because they're going to have to, there's some charge for each additional language. There's a cost associated with it, right? So the church decides what languages they want to provide, and whatever ones they click on or choose, that unique URL for the congregation will have a drop down that lets them choose what language they want to listen
Wow.
or
So,
read and listen
yeah.
along.
So it's multilingual
Multi, yes.
as real time. So in multiple languages. That's wow. That is very impressive.
Yeah, AI's getting good, huh? At
Is
doing a lot of
that Yeah, that's amazing. So I assume if you wanted to read along in English, and if it's like I'm an old time Southern boy, and you get these people out from up north in Indianapolis area, and then they talk real fast, and you don't know what they're saying. I guess you could do
Sure.
create real time captions.
How did
Yeah.
you come up with the idea? I mean, so you only had so much time for this conference, and I mean, did you just sit around? Did you sit around with a team and go, okay, what kind of an idea should we use or could we develop using AI? Because all this stuff is all AI based. All these things that we went to in Glue Hackathon, it's all about using AI. So did somebody just say, hey, let's do this, or did you have two or three ideas and then just kind of weed them out?
So I got there was actually four of us that got together. It's like, hey, we want to do this thing, but what are we gonna do? And we all actually everybody came with an idea of something, and we just started talking. What could we basically it was two things. Can we make something happen that will be presentable in 30 days, right? Like I don't want to be halfway done and then be like, oh well. Here's the idea. So we wanted something that could at least be done in 30 days. And we also wanted it to be something that if it was successful and it did work out, like we wanted it to be a marketable product as well. So I mean, it could have been just a for fun, and it was a lot of fun. Like that was part of it, but we wanted to make sure it was something that like works out. We could Churches will want it and want to pay for it too, so that we can make it happen. So it was I think the first call we had together was like a 30 minutes of here's everybody's idea, and then It worked out pretty easily. I think that this idea that came, everybody actually agreed with pretty quickly. So it was actually an easy conversation. The other ideas that everyone had was didn't kind of meet some of those other criteria. So it's
Yeah.
kind of there wasn't a long thing. But this idea came out of something that we had thought about launching over a year ago. So I think most of the ideas that came are all different ideas that we've had at some point in our business over the last 2 years. So,
So
yeah.
there's live translation captioning kind of thing for the viewers that want to, listen in the other language. And then you mentioned that you can take that recording and through some post-processing have the pastor deliver. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So then the second part to this that I think really helped make it even more presentable, at least in at the hackathon, was we were able to partner with a company that's also doing dubbing of the lips. So taking the video and running it through some AI generation to make it actually look like the pastor speaking, right? So not like the old movies of dubbing English over top of somebody speaking another language where the lips aren't matching, and we all know how it's not the most fun thing to watch. And so they're making it look like the pastor's actually speaking that language, Spanish. So you hear it in the pastor's voice in Spanish, and their lips are moving along with the Spanish.
Wow. And you did a little that your video was showed a little demo of that. So you would and who was it Craig Rochelle? Who did you guys use? I can't remember.
So
Oh.
we used my Pastor
Okay.
Adam Dedimore. He's been very nice in allowing me to use him as examples everywhere. So, yeah.
Yeah, so he was so you guys even had a in your video, if I remember correctly, you guys had him speaking in English and then real time kind of moved a slider over and it was him finishing the sentence in Spanish, right? Or that was
Yeah,
part of the
that was,
demo.
yeah. I thought you guys have probably seen these sort of like before and after sliders, right? Of like, there's different ways people do these. I've seen some of like satellite views of like when a tornado goes through, like you can see the before and after, or like before and after of inc like what does a picture look like when you AI impose it, right? Like this before and after slider did the same thing of like, here's what it looks like and sounds like in your original, and just slide it over, and you can see what it looks and sounds like in Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned that, what part of the criteria for your things is you guys want to turn this into a real product? Where does that stand?
The short answer is I'm not sure yet.
Oh,
Because,
Sounds
well,
like a great idea, I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure there's
Well,
people listening
you've got
going,
a
I want
name.
this. I want this thing for my church.
Yes, we've had a lot of interest and of people signing up to like hear the news of when it's being released. And there was a lot of people asking me this question at the hackathon. And it's still only what, 2 weeks out since the hackathon. The original thing was, let's see how well this does. Let's see what people say about it. We thought it was a good idea, but I've had a lot of great ideas that turn into nothing. So, yeah, it seems like the signs are pointing towards we should do something with this. There's an opportunity, but we don't have the exact plan. I can say that we're like 99% confident we're moving forward with it. At what speed yet? I'm not sure. Like, when will we be able to take on our first kind of beta tester? Hopefully by the end of the year.
Okay.
We had an idea, and hundreds of people came up to us afterwards saying, when are you going to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah,
So how about you guys? When are you
and
going to do yours?
no, I'm lying. Nobody cared.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Phil wants to go. Actually, we went through a very similar process to you. We said,
Okay.
let's go to this hackathon. Well, last year, let's go to the hackathon again, but we didn't know what we were going to bring. And so we kind of went through the same process of, well, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think? You know, everybody kind of came up with different ideas. And actually, last year when we went to the hackathon, we went through a very similar process as well. We were driving down a path of doing some, our church is not famous for, but they're very into what they call one voice, that where the message that's delivered to the adults is also the same message, but appropriately set up for youth and children and all the way down, so that when you walk out of service Sunday afternoon, and everyone's been kind of gone through the same lesson, so they can kind of talk about it and that sort of thing. So they're really they have been doing this one voice and then creating one voice criteria or curriculum for the younger kids. So the pastor will speak the message, and then their crew will create all of the material for the younger ones. So we were thinking, oh, maybe there's an opportunity for AI there.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
but we didn't pursue that. That was not one of the ideas we picked up. Actually, the person that was in charge of it, we thought would be really excited about it. And they were like, I don't know, they were kind of slow to the whole AI game. This was again over a year ago. So,
Okay.
but anyway, we went with what eventually became Daily Dive 365. We went with taking the sermons into devotions. But
That was last year. This year, though,
last
it's a
year.
flop. This was this year was this year was my idea, and you saw
Phil
how
did
well that went.
prevail.
You saw how that well how well that went. So.
Phil's been a pastor for a long time, and I was just basically going to people in our within our group, and then others outside. And, what are the biggest challenges? And Phil said, well, the biggest challenge is getting volunteers. And so we started, well, what could we do to get volunteers? So we tried some things, and so we put together the project. It was we were Phil was excited about it. We were excited about it. So,
Yeah.
and it presented well. So,
Yeah.
but anyway,
I would
so
like to do a thing. I would like it, and I, this is kind of all inside to some of the people listening to this podcast may feel left out, but you have judges. So you present your video and you present what you're doing to these judges at the end of this hackathon. I would like to, and Corey won something. You won like $250,000, didn't you, Corey? Or was it two million? Was that what you won? I don't remember. But you won. You did win. You won something, right? And there was several winners in different categories, right? And as I'm being sarcastic here, we didn't win. But I would like to know, like my wife watches these cooking shows. And they all present their little plates to these chefs, and then the chefs give them what they think, about the law. I'd like to know what people think about the guys that didn't win. I mean, okay, yours didn't win, but what did you think about it? Did you think it had potential? Did you think it's just no, it's you guys are losers? I mean, that's what I would like to see next year is that, get some feedback on what you liked or what you didn't like. So.
I agree. Even just like 30 seconds after the video would have been great. Just some initial feedback. Yeah, I agree. That would have been great.
But I'm not bitter.
But I would also say is there was like five judges, right? So just by like luck of who those five people are, there is luck involved in winning these things too, right? Like it may just be that four of them were just talking about live translation stuff, and it was like, right? I don't there yeah. So I think there I personally don't think I thought there was some good stuff in a lot of them, actually.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And there really could be something there for many of those.
And there's 31 projects. I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not, but they did all the presentations, and then they shuttled the judges off to a secret location. And I
Not
there's
really
you
secret though,
know
right?
well, it was maybe I did tell you that, because I go, there's only two or just a few bathrooms in the main area, and I thought, I'm going to go to this other building because I know no one's going over there. And I actually walked in, and I go, well, I found their secret location, because they were meeting in a conference room there. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not supposed to be here. But I just went into the bathroom and ran back out. Actually, as I left the doorway, the camera guy that was photographing the whole thing, he's got the camera rolling, waiting for the door to open. And I walked out. I was like, you're not waiting for me. You're waiting for these guys right behind me. So it was kind of funny. Anyway.
All right, so plans ahead. You're not sure. I mean, this really does genuinely sound really good. I like what you're doing. And there was another fellow that we know. We've interviewed Joe before, who had something similar to yours as well. But I do think that, people listening to this podcast or watching us, this is all about helping the church use technology to get, to accomplish ministry in an effective way. That's why this Glue hackathon thing, this is the second year that we're involved in it, the second year it's been around, right? And so I don't know if I'm assuming they're going to have another one next year, but the whole idea behind these things is to help the church use technology to further the kingdom, to further the gospel.
And I think what this does for, I'm guessing a lot of us are competitive in some way too, right? Like there's it breeds a healthy, like it was a healthy competition that I think, like, look at all these ideas and look at all these things, and like I really feel like Glue's gonna push the church space to like adopt this AI, right? Not just churches, but like these people that want to build businesses with AI, like let's do it for the church. I really felt like there's going to be some big stuff
Sure.
happen because,
Have
yeah.
you, with Sermon Shots, have you, and you're using AI, have you had pushback from people in ministry using, about the whole thing with AI?
Yeah, for sure.
What do you tell them?
Well, it depends on what the pushback is. If the pushback is it's the Antichrist and the devil, I don't know that I've got a great comeback to that yet, but to a lesser degree, to I guess be serious. I think there's some healthy like skepticism in it. Like in what way is AI driving what we're doing in the church? And I think that there's, I'm not going to pretend to be the one picking where the line is when you cross over it, but at some point, if you're trying to replace the Holy Spirit in making your sermon, maybe we've crossed the line. I don't know, but I think where I try to focus a lot of my thinking on how people should think about this is utilize it just to save time. Don't let it replace like your thinking and your church specific brand of the way of doing things. Don't let it replace your prayer time and your listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't replace any of that. Just like let it speed the process up a little bit. God can be in all of that, right? And so So I think use AI to speed up, but like still be there, and don't, like, we're not just copy pasting and letting AI replace me. I'm just using it as a tool, basically. So
I think that's good.
I
It's a
agree
tool.
with that. I mean, it's dramatically affected how I work and how we work, just having it there. And there's from the, especially from the like the developer's perspective, there's you used to spend a lot of time going into Google, finding answers, studying which one's the right one, figuring out how to implement those solutions. And now with AI, it's so much faster. And I've even found that even using other tools, like software tools out there, that I'll just go into AI and go, I can't figure out how to do this. It's just maybe Photoshop or something, and you go, how do I blur this and so that it fades from here to here? And I'd probably spend an hour or two, because I'm not a image editor guy, figuring out how to do something. And I go into AI and it says, do this first, and then this, and then this, and then this. And it's like exactly your steps, exactly what you want. And I'm like, wow. It's like I
That's
have
funny.
an AI, like a Photoshop pro just sitting there going, oh, it's easy. Let me show you. So it's just, it's for me, it's been, I've just been trying it on different, all kinds of different things. Yeah. And it's been very helpful. I've been very impressed with how it just saves you time.
Now, there are several AIs, tools out there, platforms out there. Which one do you like, Steve, to use?
For me, we have a ChatGPT subscription. We have subscriptions to several tools that specialize in different things, as well as I'm sure Corey, your crew does as well. But the for large language model stuff, it's ChatGPT is the go-to for me.
What about
I
you,
think
Corey?
they are.
So I use ChatGPT a lot. It's probably the one I use the most. But if I'm using a lot of like really long format stuff and create, I need something creative from it, I sometimes use Claude. Claude has been good in some cases as well. But they're also changing so quickly that like
Oh
it's possible someone says, "What? Wait, no, ChatGPT does that now too, right?" Like
yeah.
I would.
Tomorrow, you're probably aware there's another release going out
Oh,
tomorrow.
actually, I did not know that.
Yes, if
For which
you're
one?
actually for ChatGPT, if you're using 4.0, it is getting updated to the most current model that I think I talked to you about,
Okay.
and
Yes,
they've
you did. Yep.
implemented structured outputs, which is
Yep.
something that I think a lot of people have struggled with that want to do, especially when you're dealing with sermons and stuff, to get some structured response. Whereas before, you'd ask for a structured response and it would sometimes not give it to you the way you wanted it. So you had to ask it again. So
Yep.
anyway, yeah, that's supposed to come out tomorrow, actually. I just got a
Okay.
notice email from them saying your 4.0 is getting updated to this. If you want to stay on the old one, change it
Okay.
to this. So anyway.
All right. All right. Well, so we're basically out of time here. But Corey, how do people get a hold of you? So, I've heard this new idea you had. You're the CEO of Sermon Shots. But what's the best way for people to reach you if they have questions?
So I can be reached at Corey@sermonshots.com. You can reach out to me by email that way. Sermon Live is currently sitting on sermonlive.com. And so if you want to be on the wait list for that, you can do that. And if you want to see what Sermon Shots does, you can see sermonshots.com.
All right, super. All right, good deal. Well, we're out of time here, but Corey Alderman's been our guest today, and this has been fun. It's kind of a more of a casual conversation today in this
Yeah.
podcast. I'll just get sitting around drinking a cup of coffee. No, probably not, but we're actually enjoying each other. And folks, if you have any questions, you can always reach out to us at support@streamingchurch.tv. And make sure you check out dailydive365.com when you get a chance. And if you're interested in our webinar, we've got them coming up every month, and we've got past webinars that you can look at as well. And just go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv and sign up for the latest one. It's going to be about really streaming hardware, but there's some other ones in the past that you can look at as well. So there's a little button on that. So, all right, guys, we're done here. Any last parting words? I'll
Good.
take.
Looking forward to Sermon Shots. That was my next question, or Sermon Live. You got the
Sermon live.
URL, huh? That's
Yep.
good. Got the name. That's half the battle, right? Sometimes.
Right.
So sermonlive.com.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll check it out. All right, folks. If you haven't subscribed to the Church Solutions podcast, please do so wherever you get your podcast and give us a rating. We would love to hear from you. And with that in mind, we will say adios. Have yourselves a great day. Please take care of yourself and each other. And we'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions podcast.